Well, to God be the glory. You know, God is faithful all the time. Amen? All the time. You know, one of the things is, you know, we've been sharing about demonic holds and preparations and things to come. And I'm getting questions of how do we prepare for these things? How do we prepare? You know, I can only share with you that the closer you are to the Lord, the more prepared you are. The further away you are from the Lord, the less prepared you are. Because no money, no gold, no silver, no nothing will prevent what's getting ready to happen. This is a war between darkness and light. This is a war that has been going on for thousands of years. It's a war that started in the throne room of God. And it's going to end with the throne room of God. Only he's got the victory. There'll be many lost. There'll be many gained. There'll be many who will stand all the way through. The word tells us that many will fall away, taking heed to deceiving and seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Doctrines of demons are doctrines of the world. No education. Look, you can be as smart as a whip, but be as stupid as can be. Because there's a difference between being smart and wisdom. We want the wisdom that's from above. You can't learn this wisdom going to school. This wisdom that is gained is not worldly wisdom. It's eternal wisdom. And in this eternal wisdom is the area that God releases to us because we're close. I really, truly believe that the only way that we're going to overcome, of course, it's according to the word, that we will overcome by the word of our testimony, the blood of the Lamb, and that we won't love our lives to death. In other words, we're willing to die. Again, we talked about that. We must be willing to die to ourselves. Without willing to die to ourselves, there's no desire to change. And the only way that you can change is by exchange. And when you exchange, you change, and then you have victory. But I truly believe that none of that can be established without being saturated with God's presence. And I believe that's one of the things he is doing right now. He's desiring to draw all men unto him to be saturated with his presence so that we actually know what home is about, because his presence is our home. Amen. Would you turn to the book of Joel? The book of Joel. In chapter 2. In verse 28. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Chapter 2, verse 28. And it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." In other words, it's available for everyone. Anyone that's willing to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and be hungry and thirsty for more of God, he pours out his spirit. "And I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." Now look at the next verse. It says, "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." In other words, I'm going to pour out my spirit. Without the spirit, without the saturation of God's presence, there is no dreams or visions. In other words, these things bring revelation. That means revealing, unveiling. Unveiling of things that are hidden. This is the saturation of the Spirit of the living God. Again, the main factor is saturation brings revelation. Everyone say, saturation brings revelation. And that's what we're talking about tonight, saturation factor. Because there are factors of being saturated. You can't be what God wants you to be without being saturated. It's a longer process. Does everybody get it? I mean, we've tried all kinds of things, but every one of us loves to cut through the front lawn to the front door. Who wants to go up the driveway when you can cut down the front lawn, right? Or hop the fence instead of go around the block. Whatever it is. We have a tendency, we want to get there, and God wants us to get there. But he's got a process of cutting short things. There's no shortcuts to heaven. But according to God's ways, we can cut things shorter. Why? The more you cooperate, the quicker things happen. The less you cooperate, the longer it takes. And we've got to reach that level of saturation so that we can walk in the area in the spirit and constantly have victory. Again, I hate losing spiritual battles. So what does this saturation do? Again, the main factor of saturation is revelation. It allows us to bring sight to the things that are unseen, that the natural world cannot see. They don't see the things that are going on. The natural world has carnal eyes where you and I should have eternal eyes. There's a difference. People are complacent in what's going on in their life right now. Most people don't even know what's going on behind closed doors. They have no idea. They see things are a mess. Yeah, that's not good. I just don't understand why. You know why? Because they have no revelation. Because there's no saturation. They're trying to figure things out. Even some people are searching the word out to try and calculate it, but they don't have understanding of it. Because it only can be understood by the Spirit. And the more saturated you are with God's presence, the more you see, the more you hear, the more you're sensitive, the more you become like Christ, the more compassionate you are, the more bold you are. You don't take garbage from no demon or from fleshly idiot. You stand bold on what is truth, and you don't care what people think about you. You only care what God thinks about you, because nothing else matters. In Revelation chapter 3, in verse 14. Is everybody there? And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now, cold and lukewarm means dry. Has everybody got it? It means dry. There's only one place that represents saturation, and that's hot. Verse 17. Because you say, I am rich and I have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich in white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your what? Eyes with eye salve, that you may what? That you may see. Again, lukewarm represents dry. And when you are dry, you are blind. That's why he said, anoint your eyes. Get hot so you can see. Is everybody with me? If you're not hot, if you're not saturated, if you're not wet and saturated with the presence of God, you can't see those things. You can't hear these. In fact, you hear more stuff than what God is saying. Lukewarm, which is dryness, it brings blindness to revelation. And revelation is revealing the hidden mysteries. See, when you're able to see these hidden mysteries that are revealed, expose the enemy's strategies. You won't see anything. You won't see what's going on. You won't be sensitive enough. You'll walk into traps. You'll live a life of always trying to recover instead of advance. Anybody live that life? Amen. Again, lukewarm is not saturated. It's dry. In Acts chapter 1. Saturation factor. It's a matter of factor. In verse 4, see, when you become dry, you become religious. You rely on your knowledge. You rely on what you remember. I say the Bible says, and See, it becomes letter again. In person, disappears. The word himself disappears. Now the only thing we see is letter. That's when you're dry. That's what religion is. Dry, that's why the word tells us what? That it's not the ministry of the letter, but of the what? Spirit. It's a ministry of saturation now. Listen, you know when you're starting to get dry, you can't stand yourself. Hello? Because if you've been saturated and wet at one time, and man, you know the joy of the Lord, and you're just seeing things, hearing things, and there's revelation, and you know what's going on, and you're then all of a sudden you become dry, man, you hate it. You should hate it. And what the enemy's always trying to do is dry you up, always. He tries to prevent you from getting into God's presence. Acts 1 chapter and verse 4, would you read it with me? And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I love the correlation of this. He uses water as a parallel to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, remember, the word baptism means to be submerged. That means saturated. So there's a place where you and I are saturated with the Holy Spirit. In other words, we are baptized, we are submerged in the Holy Spirit when we first get baptized. Now there's an area where we must be continued keeping saturated. And that's why we do that through corporate worship. That's why we gather together and worship. That's why we have a Friday night anointing service in worship. Baptism, baptized, is to be submerged. And after we get wet and submerged, then we want to be saturated and maintain that wetness. Amen? And Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel was saturated. In verse 1, it says, then he brought me back to the door of the temple. To the door of the what? The temple. Remember, Jesus said that he was the what? The temple. He was the tabernacle. Amen? And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. I want you to understand something. It said it was flowing from the right side of the temple. That's where Jesus was pierced. See the parallel. In fact, what did it say? That water and blood came out of his side. Didn't Jesus say, he who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood shall have eternal life? See, the water is associated, and the blood that came out of his side was associated with not only the baptism of water, but that was to be washed by the blood of the Lamb to be cleansed of sin and to be filled with the Spirit so that you and I would be saturated. In verse 3, verse 2. And he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the other side to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out of the right side. Again, Jesus was known as the temple. It's running out of the right side of this structure. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my ankles. Is that saturated? No. It's only ankle deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Is that saturated? No. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water. It came up to my waist. Is that saturated? No. Again, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which I must what? Swim. Is that saturated? Yeah. A river that could not be crossed. In other words, you have to get in and flow. Now, Jesus said, I'm the temple, right? In other words, he was also known as the tabernacle, which are chambers in the tabernacle. And these here are the areas where people are only ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, but there's a place where you can be saturated. The deeper you get in, the more you press in, the more saturated you are. The more you worship, you drink of the Spirit, the more saturated you are. Exodus 25. The Lord was explaining to Moses about building the tabernacle, that temple. So I want you to know that the deeper into the tabernacle, which is known as the most holy place, the third chamber, is where saturation is. That's where saturation is. In verse 20, the Lord's telling Moses, he said, look it. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat. So this is a cover that will go on the mercy seat. There will be two cherubs stretching their wings to one another. They shall face one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. Now, the mercy seat was set on the ark. And on this is not the ark of Noah, okay? This is the ark of the covenant, which was placed into the most holy place where the glory of God used to meet. He said, and you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you. Now look at this. And there I will what? I will meet you. I'll meet with you, and I'll speak with you. I will what? Speak with you. In other words, what he told me says, when you come into this place of saturation, we will speak face to face. And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are on the Ark of the Testimony, about everything which I will give you and commandment to the children of Israel. So here he says, I'll meet with you from above the mercy seat. In other words, revelation is going to come because you are in the, you are saturated, and you will be able to speak to the Lord face to face. The Bible says, oh, well, nobody can see God face to face and not live. Right, because in that place, you're not alive. You're dead to yourself. See, if you were to put one drop of water into a glass, it what? Mixes. You can't tell. When we get into that saturation place, we become one. You know, you think about it. Moses was with 40 days with God, right? Believe me, it only probably took him a couple seconds to tell him about the Ten Commandments. But it said that he explained all kinds of things to him. Not only that, he came down and threw the commandments. He had to go back and get more, so he spent more time with God. And then he would meet him at the meeting place, the most holy place of the tabernacle. And he would get all, well, how do you think he wrote everything? That's where the majority of the Torah came from. Leviticus, Deuteronomy, all the laws, everything that came because God spoke to Moses face to face because Moses was saturated. That's why he wore a bag over his head because the glory of God was going away every time he would come out. He was the unknown preacher. Hallelujah. Again, in this, revelation is due to saturation. It was the third chamber of the tabernacle. We call this the wet factor. You got to stay wet, stay saturated. Do you know that water is very conductive to electricity? You stand in some water and lightning hits somewhere and there's an access to you, you're going to get a charge. In fact, you may see Jesus. And it'll definitely be face to face. But there's an area. Look at, when we become dry, we lose contact. See, so the enemy tries to get you so busy and so caught up in all the foolishness of the world that you become dry and you lose contact. When you break contact, you're blind again. You're in the flesh. That's what we call being in the flesh. You become religious. Oh, you may go to church, but you know when you're dry, even when you're in church. That's why there's a lot of dry churches. I was talking to this woman the other day, and she's proclaiming how spiritual she was. And I began to ask her some things about spiritual warfare. She didn't know nothing. Ah, I'm a sixth generation of all of this that in the church. I said, what church you go to? She mentioned it. I said, no wonder why you don't know nothing. She said, that hurt. So what? Do you want to learn? Or do you want to stay stupid? Do you want to be religious? Or do you want to grow? See, without saturation, you're not going to overcome what's coming. Those people don't know what's going on. And the preachers ain't preaching it. They're not telling them because they're dry themselves. So it's like when you go into a pool, you get wet, right? So when you get out, you begin to dry, don't you? You begin to start to dry. As soon as you sense dry, you need to dive back in. Because once you become dry, you've broke contact. And you become miserable, grumpy, carnal, fleshly, blaming everybody, grumbling, complaining, downright disgusting. That's the world. They're in survival mode. The only thing they think about is how much more they can get and protect everything they got. Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. In verse 2. Actually, verse 1, it says, and there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, on this, he's talking about Jesus, but he's also talking about the body of Christ and those who are believers. Because one of the attributes of saturation, there's a release that comes from the throne room of God. And what is it? It says in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Say, everybody, I want everyone to speak this with me. And you're going to say, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon me. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Those are the seven attributes that are released from the throne of God when you maintain saturation. You will walk in wisdom. You will walk with understanding. Does everybody get this? But immediately when you become dry, you lose contact, and the only knowledge and understanding and wisdom you're going to use is what is carnal from the world, not from above. Anybody can calculate 1 + 1 = 2. Anybody can calculate things here in the natural realm. But you're not going to calculate the things of the Spirit. Those must be revealed to you There's no calculations. Is everybody okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. These are the nine gifts of the Spirit. These gifts are representation of tools. Tools what? Tools of operation. These are tools of revelation. So when you are saturated, these gifts are manifested in your life because they're the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not our gifts. So we are sensitive enough to, when he says, lay your hands on this person, when he says, give a word of knowledge to this one, when he says, whatever you do, you just do it because you're one with him. I'll never forget, you know, one day this woman came up to me and wanted me to pray for her. And the Lord said, don't worry about it, ain't you, guy. And so I prayed for her, and she was paralyzed on one side of her body. Well, she threw the cane and ran around the church, and we all went hallelujah. But those are things that happen if we're led by the Spirit, if we're saturated, if we're sensitive enough. Why? Because self is not before us. Jesus is. Self is behind us. So the cares of the world don't mean nothing to me and you. This is not our home, and we don't care. Our home is in another realm. This is a temporary realm. And right now we need to get as many people awakened to get pulled out of this place before things really get going. And they're stuck here forever. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit. Now, when he says one is given, he doesn't mean that you get one gift. What he's doing is categorizing this. So he uses the word one. But when you are saturated, every gift is available for you. Every gift, not just one. Remember, it is the ministry of the Spirit, not the letter. It's a ministry of saturation. And to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. In other words, your tongues will change in another language. And to another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13, read it with me. For by one Spirit we are what? Baptized. Whoa. We are submerged. We are saturated into one body, whether Jew or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to what? Drink into what? One Spirit. So as you praise and worship, you drink. The more you drink, the more saturated you get. People go to the bars and drink to get saturated. They get plastered, as a matter of fact. We don't need to go to bars. We need to pollute ourselves with accursed items of the world. We go to the throne room of God. I mean, come on, the bars say food and spirits, right? They ought to be real. They ought to say food and demons. That's reality. Amen? So these are the gifts of the Spirit is because of saturation. They are tools to bring revelation to others and yourself. And John chapter 5. Is everybody okay? In verse 2. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the what? Water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Was he getting saturated? Yes. Why? Because saturation also brings healing. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up." He didn't realize that the living water just showed up. "But while I'm coming, another steps in before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, walked. And that day was the Sabbath. So all the religious ones were freaked out that a man got healed on the Sabbath day. Because they were what? Dry. Is everybody okay? 2 Kings 5. You know, the Bible says, in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. That's why we were so dry, we had to use drugs and alcohol to get happy. But we weren't joyful. It only lasted a moment. That's why people are going to bars, they're trying to get happy. They're trying to find some kind of happiness. Of course, they go hunting, too. They go hunting for the opposite sex to bring happiness. So when they find one and for the kill, and they get happy. Then they find out the ripple effect later. Hello. It's called false happiness. Hallelujah. But all of this has occurred because they're dry. They're looking for something. I'm telling you, when you're saturated, you don't need to look. God makes a way. You just stay in a river. Man, you stay in that river and you can do the backstroke and you just have a good time. I had my encounter next to a pool. When the Lord came to visit me, I was laying next to a pool. So I used to go to that pool all the time and go floating. I was getting ready to go back to prison, and I'm still floating. One day while I was floating, I heard this thunk. And I looked over there, and I saw the squirrel coming down. So I knew, because you got to understand something, you know what God is saying. And when I saw the squirrel coming down the tree, he said, "Follow that squirrel." So I got out of the water, and I went over there to follow the squirrel. And there was this dead bluebird on the ground. I'm thinking, was that the thunk I heard? And I looked at this bird, and I'm thinking, gosh, Lord, why do I love this bird? What's going on here? And he said, "Pick the bird up." And I'm thinking, "Pick the bird up?" And I said, "Lord," I go down to pick the bird. I go, "I don't know why, but I love this bird." And next thing, I picked the bird up, and it flew out of my hand because he healed it. And many things happened. But many revelations came. I used to just float in this pool and I'd be talking to the Lord. Waiting on what I was supposed to do next. Staying saturated. That's all I wanted was God's presence. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in tongues. That's all I wanted was God's presence. That's all. Once that presence comes, that first baptism, that saturation comes, you don't want anything else. Nothing else is fulfilling. I don't care how much money's in your account. I don't care how many things you do. I don't care how many things you build. I don't care anything. There's only one satisfaction, and that's to be saturated. Then there's satisfaction. Wow. It's got nothing to do with anything else but God's presence. When you're saturated, people see. I used to go to places, and he'd say, "Don't say a word." And then I'd be driving, and somebody pulled me, waved me down. "Hey," and I saw that person. "I need to talk to you. You need to talk to me." I'd get him in the car and I'd share Christ with them. He would lead. I'm telling you, he would change road signs to direct my path. I knew I-4 East and I knew it. I used to go on it all the time. And one day that sign changed to I-4 West. And I said, "Man, I know this." I go on. He said, "Get on there." Okay. And I did. And there was a dude hitchhiking. He said, "Pick him up. That's why I changed the sign for you." I thought I was going in the wrong direction. But see, world direction is different than God's direction. That's why it's so important to be saturated. Amen? In 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who's in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So it was when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." The Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elijah's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal my leprosy." Oh, people have certain expectations in how things ought to be done in their life, huh? Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more than when he says you wash and be clean?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in a Jordan, and a Jordan was the most clean thing, very cold, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like flesh of a little child, and he was clean. The water, what? Because he obeyed, was dipped in the water. He was saturated 7 times and was completely healed. Does everybody understand that? That's why you and I must maintain saturation. Once we become dry, we're disconnected. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. I think. Yeah. Is everybody there? Okay. So when you become dry, you're disconnected, and you know what you're in? You're in the flesh, right? Okay. "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes what? Flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the what? In the desert. He be dry. And shall not see when good comes." Hello. Why? Because he's what? Blinded. So he's going to miss when God's trying to bring him something or rescue him. "But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord." In other words, blessed is the man who is what? Saturated. Because you trust God no matter what's going on. "Whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the what? Waters. Which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. And its leaf will be green. It will not be what? Anxious in the years of drought." Do you ever get around anybody that's anxious for everything? They're dry. "Nor will cease from yielding fruit." Does everybody see that? So again, when you become dry, you're not able to see. You're not bearing the right fruit either. You're fleshly. You can't see when God's trying to do something. That's why somebody usually has to come up and tell you. Amen? We don't want to be dry. Again, the only way to really overcome what's coming is to be saturated and stay saturated. Why? Because when you're dry, no revelation comes. And you won't be able to see the strategies of the enemy. Or when God's trying to make a way of escape for you. You'll do everything according to carnal understanding, according to the world. You can be a good mom, a good dad, a good businessman. You can be a good carpenter. You can be all of these things good. But they'll do you no good for what's coming. They're no good in the spirit realm, are they? No. Proverbs 29. Hey, listen, Jesus said, "Many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, I cast out devils in your name. I did this. I laid hands on the sick and I did that." See, the gifts are without reproach. They're when the gifts of the Spirit are manifested, you can even use the gifts in the Spirit even if you're in the flesh. Does everybody got that? Because God can use anyone. He used the donkey. That donkey was in the flesh. God can use anyone. But when it's in the spirit and saturated, it's accounted for you. Anything done in the flesh is not accounted towards you. And Jesus said that They will come to me saying these things, but he's going to say, I don't know you because you practice lawlessness. Why? Because the flesh always practices lawlessness. They lie, they cheat, they exaggerate, they touch unclean things. Does everybody understand? Amen? I mean, I see people out there all the time beating people with the word of God, but they go home and smoke dope because they're in the flesh. They're out there praying for people, and God is touching them, but it's not accounted to them because God can use anyone to touch anyone. Does everybody understand that? Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Look at what he's saying is, when there's no revelation, because there's no saturation, there's no revelation. Where there's no revelation, people cast off the restraints of the flesh. See, because when there's saturation, there are restraints put on the old man. They're put on the flesh. You no longer live for the world, nor you live for yourself. You live for God. But you utilize and you look at the world as an area of to penetrate, to rescue souls, to penetrate, to expand the kingdom. Wherever I work, wherever I do, what we do is we utilize it to penetrate. We're alert. We're vigilant. We're sober. We're saturated. And when you're saturated, you're sensitive. And you know something's about to happen at your job or where you're going that day. You could go to probation and you just know something's up and you're sensitive. It doesn't matter where. If you're saturated, you're sensitive. Amen? No revelation, no sight. Restraints come off of the flesh. In Matthew chapter 12. You know, there are, I don't know if you've seen lately, but there are many individuals in the body of Christ, I mean, I can't say many, but there's been enough that have been had mega churches, and the pastors have gone astray, fallen into drugs and fornication, and died. Some of them committed suicide, or they overdosed. Why? Because they didn't stay saturated. And they were preaching every week. They were preaching the word of God. They were bringing a word every week for years, but never got that saturation, that breakthrough, or humbled themselves, never exposed themselves, and they ended up committing suicide or dying. Many people in the body of Christ and leaders. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43. Is everybody there? When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through what? Dry places. He goes through dry places. In other words, how many of y'all want to be dry? Listen, when you're dry, spirits are attracted to you. Hello? Seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So it shall be also with this wicked generation. Demons go through dry places. There are people that attract spirits. They can easily use the person. Ezekiel 37. Is everybody okay? Ezekiel 37, verse 4. The Lord took Ezekiel in the spirit, and the Lord said to him, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came up into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. That breath is associated with the spirit. That means he was saturating these bones. There's a lot of dry bones. But see, this is where the exceedingly great army comes. They must be saturated. Amen. That's why the Lord says, seek my face. You can't seek his face without saturation. You start to, but then you're able to get to that place where it's face to face. Is everybody okay? And John 16, and verse 7. John 16, verse 7. Oh, hallelujah, saturation factor. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, he said. It is to your advantage that I go away. Jesus is speaking to them. It's to your advantage I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. In verse 12, he said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. Why? Because they weren't saturated. They couldn't understand the things of the Spirit. I remember one time when there was kids working on this on one of the houses. It was a volunteer. It was a bus that came over, and somebody brought them over on the campus, and then they said to me, why don't you come and talk to them? And I got on the bus, and I said, listen, I know you're not going to understand my language, because we don't speak the same language. So I brought it as simple as possible. But I couldn't speak. Same thing when there were certain things that occur. Man, there's certain things you just can't speak to people because they don't understand your language. You tell somebody when they're saying something stupid, who told you that? What? Oh. You tell somebody you got a demon, they get offended. Man, you got a spirit, bro. Anxiousness, fear, deaf and dumb, whatever it may be. You try to tell somebody that. You have to duck quickly because they don't get it. They will not speak your language. We speak another language. You know, I was trying to tell some of my relatives what's going on, and I don't want to hear that. You kidding? I don't want to know about that. It brings fear. Well, let me tell you, we want to know about it. It doesn't bring us fear. God's preparing us. You tell them things are getting ready to happen. Why? Because look at this. Verse 13, would you read it with me? However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to what? Come. Hallelujah. So if you're saturated, man, you're going to get revelation of knowing what things are coming. In fact, he'll give you a heart to search out more. Things begin to unfold like a puzzle. It's called the anointing. Saturation of the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. This is not a religious thing. This is a reality. Again, I wasn't created this way. I was born again this way. Amen? 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Why? Because they were dry. Saturation has a sense of unity. Does everybody understand that? It has a sense of unity. When an individual's dry, they become isolated. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. There's a different breed of saturation in those who are dry. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Hallelujah. And you know all things. Why? Because of saturation. We are saturated in the anointing. Go to Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 11. Is everybody there? In verse 13. And the Lord said, it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today. Now I want you to know, when you are saturated, his requests are not difficult. They're not burdensome. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine and your oil. Now, spiritually, this is new wine and oil. So what he's saying is, I'll continue to saturate you. What? Through your obedience of staying saturated. Has everybody got that? Look at And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you and he shut up the heavens so that there be no rain and the land yield no produce and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord has given you. Why? Because you become dry. So disobedience will promote dryness. Amen. And I'm going to close at Psalm 1. Saturation factor. Psalm 1. Is everybody okay? Let me tell you something. When you're saturated, your prayer life changes. You start speaking to the Lord in prayer. And this is not some religious type of thing. Oh, Lord, bless me today. You know, you're going after morning, Dad. Man, you're joyful. Hi, God. Good morning. Yes. Man, I know you're there. I know you see me. I see you. Let's go. There's a joyfulness. Good morning. Man, you know that when you say good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Jesus. Man, you sense angels start dropping in. Yeah. Help me pray. You know I can't do it on myself. Bukarada sataki. You start praying in the Spirit and you start ripping. Boom. I can't do it myself. See, when you're saturated, you want to be more saturated. You want more? Man, you don't even want to stay here no more. And the anointing that is thick is saturation is bold. You know that you know that you know that nothing can penetrate it unless you allow it. Jesus was known as the rock. I'm telling you, even Jesus explained it. And on this rock, I'll build my church. That anointing is a rock. It's not weak. It's rock. That saturation is a rock around us. Nothing can penetrate it. That's why the word says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Only if you let it. But first, you got to get saturated. Amen? You got to get saturated. Psalm 1, verse 1. Would you read it with me? Blessed is the man who what? Walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a what? Tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall what? Shall prosper. In other words, he'll be utilized, expanding the kingdom. Listen, when you're saturated, your thoughts are kingdom. It's kingdom business. What can I do for the kingdom? What can I do for the kingdom? What can I do for the kingdom? When you buy a vehicle, how can I utilize this for the kingdom? Even when there's marriage, is my spouse kingdom business or self business? Has everybody got it? Even in business, how can I utilize my business to promote the kingdom? Because everything you think of is about expanding the kingdom of God. That's all you care about. More souls, more souls, more souls, more souls, more food, more Bibles, more penetrating prayers. More of him. Amen. More kingdom. Praise God. Is everybody all right? Saturation factor. Let's get saturated and stay there. Father, we give you all the glory and honor and praise, and we thank you for your word. I apply the blood of Jesus on the seed that's been empowered in each and every one of us tonight. And I pray that it will grow and bear fruit for your glory, and I rebuke the enemy to try and steal it, and that you'd bring thirst and hunger to every person in this room, everyone watching and everyone hearing. That they desire to be saturated, because only in saturation can we please you. So, Lord, let the saturation continue and let your blessings flow through, that we may continue to swim in that river, knowing that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And everybody said amen.